Happy New Year, team. Welcome back to the YB2 podcast. Sean here with Brent as well. What's up, Brent?
G'day, gang. Welcome to 2020.
We're excited. This is a cool podcast. I think it's a good way. This is something that we wanted to talk about because it's something Brent and I sort of go back to, I guess, at the start of every year. I think as the year goes by, you do get caught up in just everything that's going on. And sometimes you go away from some of the things that can really work for you and make a year or make a period of time really successful. And I think having a New Year's break and a bit of time off over Christmas, even if it wasn't a lot of time, just to sit back and reflect on the year. I feel like just that it's a good reference point at the end of the year to sort of reflect on the last year. And this is a reminder podcast, I guess, of some of the things that worked for us, particularly at the start of the year, to regain momentum if we've lost it, or to just set off and start some really positive momentum throughout the year. And hopefully we can hang on. Hopefully I try to hang on these things as often as possible or for as long as possible. But truthfully, this is the time of year where we start it up again, no matter what happened.
Yeah, I just think it's going to be, I hope this is entertaining. I hope it's also just a reflection of us and it's going to be straightforward. There's no need to overcomplicate this. We're very realist and we're honest people. And there's going to be no magic in what you're about to hear. But yeah, like Sean just said, it's going to be something that if you're tuning into later anyway, it doesn't matter, because this, hopefully the big takeaways from today, the big four that you'll get, should be just hopefully a default setting, which will be clearer after we share with you.
Yeah, cool. So firstly, Christmas, New Year period. It's been fun for me.
Yeehaw.
Took the kids up to the Gold Coast, 10-hour drive each way. They were good.
It was good?
They were great.
How many stops?
One stop.
One stop in 10?
Overnight, yeah.
Oh, that's a good stop.
Good stop. We left at 4 a.m. Got to Port Macquarie at 8:30 in the morning, mate. People were just waking up. We were already there. Kids slept over half the way. Didn't complain. They were happy. Had McDonald's breakfast.
Magic. What did you order?
I had a double sausage and egg McMuffin meal with an espresso, of course. Kids had pancakes. Yeah, they loved it. Very novelty for them. Probably never eat Macca's breakfast except for when we're traveling. So they loved it. And yeah, they were good. Gold Coast was great. Good weather. Pretty smoke-free environment. Obviously, New South Wales at the moment is very, it's tragic actually what's happening. But, you know, air quality is obviously not great. But up there was nice. Good. Got good weather. We were 2 minutes from the beach. Had a pool where we were staying. Mate, one thing I noticed is that water makes kids sleep. Just bottom line. If they're swimming, if they're at the beach, whatever, something about the water in their body, or them being in a body of water, they fall asleep.
Wrecks.
They slept hard.
Wrecks them.
Yeah. Had a good time. And then New Year's Eve, we didn't do too much at home, but for the day we went out to Wollongong. Really liked going down to Wollongong. And the beaches are nice there. Had a really good fish and chip shop, good cafe. There's a good pizza place too, but it was closed. And yeah, it was pretty chilled out. It wasn't very busy. So it was nice to get to the beach. I think Sydney beaches on New Year's Eve would have been packed. So to get out, it's only an hour and 20 minutes from home. It's really not that far. Again, we were there about 10:30 in the morning, left at about 3, and kids slept the whole way home. Just an awesome day. And then pretty chilled out New Year's Eve. Played some cards. Won, of course. Had a couple of quiet drinks. And that was it. So it was good. Had a good time. What about you?
Awesome. Christmas. Family, both sides. We did a Christmas Eve lunch and then we ran the gauntlet up the coast.
Did ya? What was the traffic like?
Amazing.
Was it?
1 hour.
I was ready for you to say horrendous.
I was ready when I got in the car for it to be horrendous.
Yeah.
Not 1 hour. It was magic. I feel like Boxing Day would probably be the true gauntlet.
Mm-hmm.
I think it took us 3 hours last year. But yeah, this was an hour to the Central Coast. That was great. It also meant I got to spend some time with my brother, his family, and two little nephews, so that was cool. The kids could do their thing and hang out, which is probably the most important and special. And then that was pretty relaxed, so that was one of our first Christmases away.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it feels different to me, Christmas away.
Yeah, it's different waking up in a different house.
Yeah.
But
probably don't enjoy it as much, but it's all right.
Yeah, it's a bit out of ritual.
So you were there for Christmas morning?
We woke up Christmas morning there, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
So I found that hard because we took presents. And, in the back of the car, it's hard hiding presents from kids. But we just had a suitcase. Like, we had a big, like, suitcase you take overseas to Europe for 6 weeks.
The locked magic one.
Yeah, we just filled it with presents, and, yeah.
Yeah, we did, and I'll have to give credit to Soph there. I definitely won't take it. Soph is organised, and the presents were already up there with Mum in advance under the tree, ready to go. Just couldn't risk it. Can't fit it all in the
bag. I like to risk it. I like to live dangerously.
So that was great. Just spent a couple nights up there, and then New Year's, we... And actually, it's one of our good friends' birthdays as well on New Year's Eve, so we drove to Orange for just a couple of nights. So it was New Year's Eve and the following night. Man, beautiful friends, amazing people, and such a place to be on the farm where the kids had quad bikes, animals, like, you know, similar to the ocean. Like,
so what were you sewing, man?
Yeah.
What's that? Yeah. What's that about? What were you sewing?
Well, this is one of those presents that you get... and it means more for the parents. Like, so, like, you know, when you get a complicated Lego, like, it looks cool at the end, but there's no way the kids are doing it. Like, you
got,
have to do it.
From my parents, I got, like, a little outdoor picnic table, wooden, with an umbrella in the middle.
How long did it take you to set up?
Ages.
Yeah.
I did it the wrong way. No, instructions were average at best. And a million screws. My hands got blisters all over them, as you can't see, but Brent can see some blisters here. Mate, it was a savage build. It took me so long, and I got almost to the end, and I realised I'd done the very first... panel of wood the wrong way.
Start again.
The whole thing. Anyway, continue on. I just hate those presents. But the kids loved it.
Yeah, Lottie loves unicorns. And this was a... Which it was a bit of a running joke that... Or maybe I was the joke when it was like... I thought it was a unicorn pillow that I was buying in a rectangular box. But it wasn't. It was, you have to sew it and knit it yourself.
Mm.
And yeah, I got started and I've got a bit of obsessive personality.
No, but I found it.
No, I don't. Found it really therapeutic, and I'm still not finished.
Oh, you're still going?
Yeah.
Mate.
Yeah.
Speed.
It's not speedy at all. Man, I've got the shakes at the best of times. I'm doing my best. It's coming together slowly, and I really hope, even if she loves it for a day, and will sleep with it once, hopefully...
It is therapeutic. When you just said then the complicated, like, I didn't enjoy building this table, did not enjoy it, but Lego, I enjoy building it, because you're literally, you're just looking at instructions, you're just putting a piece on... Very relaxing.
Yeah. And I had to learn a new skill. I had to YouTube what a double running stitch is. That's the main stitch you use.
One of my favorite stitches.
Yeah, I don't know what to do.
My favorite stitch.
YouTube definitely helped there, and I'm getting the hang of it now. So it's slowly getting there. Hopefully she loves it. So on that, but we had a great time. Like I said, you know, the kids get wrecked in the beach, in the ocean, same thing for us. They were just, you know, playing with the animals, getting on the bikes. Yeah, they have a blast up there. Two things up there that I think, like, I was aware of, but until you see it firsthand, like, the severity of it, man, those fires absolutely ripped through there, like, through Bilpin and towards Lithgow. I was like, you see it on the news, but until it's, like, in your face.
Nothing in Orange?
It was, like, smoky. I think more towards, like, Bathurst there was some, but nothing directly
all
in Orange.
All the wineries are okay?
As far as I know.
Great wine there. Yeah, no, it's ridiculous.
So it was really, like, pretty, like, yeah, really, really, like, scary and confronting to a point you go, this isn't real. Like, it looked like a scene out of a movie. Even, like, just the street signs melted and stuff like that. Yeah, it looked, definitely didn't look real. And then also, too, just reality of no water on the farm. These things we take for granted in our day-to-day lives of, like, you know, having free-flowing water.
Mm.
They've got nothing. Everything's dried up. And, you know, you've got to get creative in ways that you have water, and yeah, it does limit something that's normally such a, it's still a beautiful spot.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah, when we went down to Wollongong, obviously those fires down the south coast at the moment, and it got quite smoky. On the beach it was actually all right when we were actually there, but on the way down it was very smoky, and we probably would have seen 20 to 25 trucks on the way down from up the north coast, you know, heading down there to try and help out. Crazy, mate.
Full on. And yeah, so for our listeners and our US listeners as well, if you can do us
we have one, I believe.
Yeah, do a rain dance for us. And fingers crossed they get some rain really soon.
Yeah, all right. So look, good time. I like this time of year because I know a lot of people don't like New Year's resolutions. I know you don't like them. But I really think it's just because of the nature of the time of the year in general, even if you are working through, you do get some time off and you do get to spend some time with family. And just because of the date, because it's the end of a year and the beginning of a new year, you do tend to reflect about what went well this year, what didn't, what do I want to do better next year. And so whether you're making a new Year's resolution or not, in some way you are trying to improve year to year. I imagine everyone's trying to do something a little bit better. And so that's why I like this time of year, because it's a time of hope for the year. Like, if things didn't go well this year, or, you know, there's stuff coming up this year, it's like, it's a hopeful time because it hasn't happened yet. And you're just thinking about what the future could hold for you. And hopefully you're somebody that looks at it in a positive way, hoping that, you know, things are going to turn out the way you want them to. And I think what we wanted to do today was to give you guys a few tips on maybe helping that happen. Like, some things that we find that work for us, that we hopefully work for you, and that you can implement to, you know, give yourself the best opportunity to having a really good start to the year, and making those positive things that you want to happen this year, and those improvements that you want to happen. Hopefully with these tips, they can become a reality this year.
Immense time. Number one.
Go.
You're going to dive in, yeah.
Yeah, still.
This is something you see with every successful person I know, I follow, and I guess you aspire to, and try and take away, you know, their strengths. And one thing they all have in common is, I guess, their organization, their planning, and it always comes down to they have a morning ritual.
Mm-hmm.
There are no, like, there's no magic around it in terms of going, oh, wow, how do they get so much done? They get up earlier. So point number one for today is going to be creating a morning ritual, or having a daily routine. And essentially what it means is non-negotiables that are going to set your day ultimately up for success.
Mm-hmm.
Completely open to interpretation, and there's many, many ways of, you know, going about it. A few examples of that might be, people with young families, is understanding that the busyness and the loudness and noisiness that happens when the kids are awake is going, well, great. Set an alarm, get up 2 to 3 hours before then, and do your most productive work before then, or before the day has an opportunity to throw a distraction or tangents at you. For a lot of people, and this comes back to that we see every day, this is what we do in the gym industry, is, you know, statistically we know that our morning people are our most consistent people for a reason. They have momentum around training, and you can't get that email, that text message, you know, that boss pulling you into a meeting, you know, before 5 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
So having that alarm set and knowing that the first thing you got to do is, with your, you know, gym gear already lined up and ironed from the night before, that all you have to do is slip your shoes on, have your coffee, and then get to the gym. And there's, you know, a lot of many other reasons and signs behind why that would be a positive thing. But having a ritual around that. Now, for I guess a basic level, maybe for those people that don't train in the morning or can't train in the morning, or that actually might not like training and don't do that, and they're not a gym thing, there's still a whole lot of space to fill in the morning that you're probably not maximizing right now. Even about having that routine of, you know, for example, your thing might be to cook your family breakfast, which is a guaranteed way of getting time to connect, and doing something, you know, you need to do, and bonding that you might not get to in the nighttime.
Mm-hmm.
For different reason. It might be a time for you to get clear on what's important for you that day. Something I'm going to pick up again this year that I've, you know, definitely slowed down is going to be journaling again. And, you know, doing that in that quiet space in the morning and just making sure it's done. So I'm getting everything, all the shit out of my head that I need to, down onto paper so it's in front of me. I have a daily planner there of what's important to me, what's urgent, what needs to be done, what's not. And then I can easily look back and reflect on that and go, did I not achieve what I wanted to do today, and why not? And that can essentially, you know, my day is laid out. So there's going to be no accidents. You know, you're not going to take on tasks that you don't need to do. You already know what's important, and then you just can just accumulate growth from doing that day in, day out.
Yep. No, that's good. It's a good point. And, you know, maybe we should have checked, but that was exactly my first one as well. Wake up early. I think just adding on to that and reiterating what you said, I found the first half of my year was super successful because I was waking up at 4 a.m. And I did sort of fall out of that routine, and that's something I want to get back into, because if you wake up at 4 a.m., like, just the kids, my kids usually wake up sort of around 6 now. It's used to be 5:30. It's around 6 now, which is good. I can get 2 hours of stuff done before they wake up. And most of the time for me, it might be training. But for you, it could be anything. It could be, like, just sitting still for 10 minutes and, like, just thinking about life. It could be doing a 10-minute yoga and mobility workout you see on YouTube, and doing some cooking and catching up with the emails you need to be get on top of, or planning out your work schedule for the week, or anything. It really can be anything that you want it to be, but I can't for the amount of time, like, you're going to wake up and you're going to feel tired, especially at first, but I promise that at 6 o'clock or whatever time the day starts for you in your house with everyone else awake, whether it's for work or whatever, when you've already done 2 hours of work at 6 a.m., and whatever that work is for you, you can do it, you're going to feel amazing. You feel just so much ahead of the day. And I find it's a great time to put it, like, for me, most of the time training and some work stuff is super important. So if I do that before 6 a.m., I know that I can do more throughout the day, more work, more training if I want to. But no matter what happens for the day, it's done. The important things I want to get done are pretty much done already before anyone's awake. And so I'm winning. I'm winning the day already. And I know that feels amazing, because the days that I don't do that and the days I wake up at 6, I feel behind. Like, I'm still up pretty early, 6 o'clock, but I feel behind the day because I know that if I wake up 2 hours earlier, I'd be so much more ahead. And if you're thinking, oh, I need more sleep, go to bed earlier. It's a rare occasion for most people. It's not for everyone, but for most people, it's a rare occasion that you need to be awake after 9 o'clock. There's no real need for it. You can get dinner in, watch a TV show and go to bed by 9 o'clock most time. I'm not saying go to bed at 9 o'clock if you don't want, but if you did go to bed at 9, 9:30 and you woke up at 4 a.m., I promise you, your day will be far more productive. And when you put your head on the pillow at night, not only will you be tired because you had a full day, but you'll feel really great about the day you just had.
Yeah, so sometimes it's really ironic. Like, someone, I feel like people justify their behavior there and go, oh, but that's my 1 hour of TV.
Yeah.
Or I need to do this, or I need to catch up. You're probably feeling that because the truth is, if it's, let's just use TV as an example because it's really, really common. You're doing that because you need to escape.
Mm.
Whether it is Netflix, some people it's video games, whatever it is. The truth is, you're wanting to watch and participate in those things because you're trying to escape something.
Yeah.
Whether it is the stress or shit of a day. But the truth is, ironically, at 9 o'clock at night, it's stimulating you.
Yeah.
So on the other hand, then, just some tips. You've probably heard all of them before as well. It's like ideas about getting to bed earlier because that's going to be the reason you can function probably at 4 a.m. is making a rule and a boundary around technology and just saying, well, cool, like, yeah, you can be awake between 9 and 10, but the TV's off. Your mobile phone's on flight mode or upside down. Your work is done for the day, and it is actually legitimate downtime. You know, turning as many lights off as you can, maybe having conversation or reading a book, and just knowing that your body is actually now starting to literally come down from the day, and it's actually going to be ready, so you can get in bed asleep rather than going, oh, I'll lay in bed at 10, but next thing you know, it's midnight, you're still looking at the roof because you're still buzzing about what you just watched.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's something for people to try. If you don't think it's real, like, you can give up 3 days and do it. I promise you that if you do 3 days in the morning at 4 a.m. and you get really, like, you have a plan before you go to bed about what you're going to do with that time, and you just get out there and get after it, as soon as the alarm hits at 4 a.m., you're up and you're off, and you do whatever it is you're going to do, train, work, whatever it might be. I promise you that if you do that 3 or 4 days in a row, on the fifth or the fourth or fifth day that you don't do it, you're going to wake up at your normal time and you're going to feel behind. And you're just going to see the value that you just had, or you have had, or you do have in waking up so early.
I can feel the my stress levels going up, but because I feel like it's a frustrating question. What advice would you give someone, a polite way of saying it, to someone that says, Sean, but I'm not a morning person?
Well, I don't know enough about the research. I know that for a fact that there's some people aren't a morning person. If you listen to Matt Walker's podcast, he talks about that. But I also know that the overwhelming majority of people are. And they're just lazy. They go to bed too late and they're not sleeping enough. They're probably not drinking enough water, probably not eating enough food. There's probably a million reasons, or eating too much food, probably a million reasons why they're feeling lethargic at 4 a.m. And it's not because they're up at 4 a.m. It's because of everything they did before they woke up.
Probably, yeah, sure. And considering probably the people we're trying to reach here, you know, through this platform as well, is, yeah, sure, I'm sure there are people who are, you know, creative and at nighttime.
Mm.
I don't know, what seems to be musicians.
Yeah, well, like, maybe, you know, you can reverse it. I think the truth is, what we're trying to get at here is, for us, it's the morning, and for most people, it will be the morning because there's no interruptions. But if you are somebody who likes to wake up at 7 or 8 o'clock and you have a job or a life that's cool, maybe your time is from 9 to 11 p.m. But as long as that's not time spent in front of the TV doing nothing, as long as that's productive time, that's time that you are creative and you do get some great ideas and you do get some really solid work done, or you like to go for a walk or a train or do some training or go for a run, then that's cool. That's your time. For most people hearing this, it's not going to be the case. Most people, they're winding down at that time of night. They want to get to bed and they need to start the day the next day, and that I would recommend just going to bed a bit earlier, waking up a lot earlier, 4 a.m., and you know, get some work done. Just try it out.
And the same reason they're uncomfortable at even the thought of that is probably the reason they're not where they are, what they want to be.
You just need to be honest with yourself. You need to be honest with yourself and say, am I doing everything in a day? Like, how many times in... Oh, there's not enough hours in the day. There's plenty of hours in a day. The most... And I'm not this person, but the busiest person on planet Earth, who I don't know who it is, but whoever that person is, they have the same amount of hours as I have access to and the same amount of hours as you have access to. They just get more done because they're more productive and they're more strategic about how they use their time. And if you don't care, if you're just completely okay with your life at the moment, continue on. But if you want more, if you're looking to get more time out of your day, get more production out of your day, if you're looking to have a better year this year than you did last year, our first tip is just wake up earlier. Boom, done. My next thing is think small. So New Year's resolutions, whether you like them or not, it doesn't matter. People generally will either have them or they'll at least have an idea about what they want to get better at this year. My advice would be think small and make it a small thing that you're trying to improve, because nothing kills momentum like failure, and you are setting yourself up to fail if you try and take on too many things at once, or you try and take on, you know, too big a thing at once, because you're not going to get it done. And by February, it's all over. The year's pretty much done. You've lost complete momentum and you've had a shit start to the year and you're feeling crap about yourself and you may as well think about 2021. So think of something small that you can change, something small you can implement. For example, waking up at 4 a.m. and maybe not every day of the week, maybe just 3 days a week. Start off small, build some momentum, see the value in what you're doing, and then you can always add more to your plate as you go on. But it's really difficult to take things off your plate once they're done, because generally what happens is you put so much on your plate, you can't do it all, and you feel like shit. So I recommend starting small, implement something small, make sure you nail that, build some really, really good momentum, and then you can always add things on as the year goes by.
I think a lot of people just more commonly don't have the coping mechanisms with that. They don't, meaning they just don't deal with stress very well.
Mm.
And they do start dropping balls. I think it's a really great tip. Like, it's very proactive.
Yeah, well, it's seeing that that's probably going to happen. And, you know, there's exceptions to the rule. Some people can just flick a switch and change their whole life overnight. Most people can't. So just change a little thing, build momentum, and just add things as the year goes by. I think it's a really easy tip, really simple tip. And I promise you, but if you do take on too much, there's a strong chance you're not going to execute on those things.
And overwhelm.
Yeah, come February, it's done. Year's done. You really struggle to get that momentum back. Because again, like I go back to, this is the time of year for reflection. Most people don't reflect in February. This is the time of year right now that most people do it and think about their life and where they're at and what they want to change. And so don't ruin that thought that you have now about how the year's going to be so great by taking on too much. Just hit some wins. Like, get a few weeks of like doing this one small thing every single day or every second day, whatever it might be, and build momentum. Hit wins every single time, and then you'll feel great about what you're doing. You'll see that it's making a difference and you'll be excited about the year ahead still. And you can add another thing in. You smash that, you add another thing, smash that. Next thing you know, 2021 comes around and you're way further ahead than you are right now, and you can do the same thing again. Good tip. I've got another one, but do you have one?
Yeah. Common things to talk about is, we've just talked about it, we dropped the word lots of times already on this podcast, is momentum. And then we talk about discipline and habit creation, and it goes over a lot of people's head. It's like, oh, when I'm ready, I'll start that. So the fourth point today that I wanted to cover was a very, very, very real way of actually building momentum. And you know, what is discipline? It's your ability to create habits and, you know, repeat that process and that behavior. And it's a really simple idea of, my tip is to go on a streak.
Mm-hmm.
And that can literally be in anything you want. The whole idea about it being, as an overview, that by building momentum and consistency and creating habits into one area of your life, you start becoming that person in many, many areas, and you have that ability to then apply that, you know, level of behavior to anything you wish in your life. So a few basic examples of that, and one thing I'll be doing this year to share is just to do with reading. So making a commitment to myself to read 10 pages of a book a day. Mm. Now, it doesn't seem like much. Once again, it's a small goal. It's thinking small. But in a month, that's a 300-page book done.
Mm-hmm.
Guaranteed. So the streak is to day by day, regardless.
It's like gamifying it, right?
100%.
And people like games.
It's competitive with yourself.
Yeah, when you get to 35 times in a row, you don't want to stop the streak there. You want to keep going with the streak. Can I get to 50? Can I get to 80? Can I get to 100? And it amplifies your want and your will to, you know, stay on it, stay on track with that thing that you gamify.
And it could be other stuff as well. Like, it may be you're one of those, you know, maybe it's water.
Mm.
Like, okay, cool. Like, set a goal. Drink, just, you know, 3 liters of water a day.
Streak it.
Streak it, for sure.
Steps. How many steps can you do in a day? Streak it. Can you wake up at 4 a.m.? Streak it. If it's not every day at 4 a.m., maybe it's, or maybe any of these things, it's just like, I want to do this thing 4 days a week. How many weeks in a row can you get it? Can you streak it 52 weeks in a row, and then you've done a whole year of what you said you're going to do? Like, you can streak, or you can gamify this any way you want with anything that you're implementing. And it's just our nature that people like winning. People like having games and like having something to, you know, give meaning to whatever it is they're doing. And for a lot of people, that is making a game of it. And a streak is just doing that, isn't it?
Because we have talked about in the past, like, compound interest. And as you've just touched on again, the whole idea of like just choosing small things to focus on, it will become more.
Mm.
And often people can't project far enough ahead to see how it's actually going to add up. But like the simple thing of reading is like, think about like, maybe it's for entertainment value or maybe it's for educational purposes. Just, you're going to know.
Well, the thing is with the reading, that's a guarantee 10 books a year. That, yeah, I was about to say, I mean, 10 pages a night is 10 to 12 books a year.
Massive.
That's crazy. It is. That's the compounding effect of just doing 10 pages a day. Is that, you know, if you say I'm going to read 12 books this year, maybe if you're not a reader especially, that's a lot of fucking books. Too much. If you haven't read a book in the last 5 years, reading 12 books in a year is not going to happen. But 10 pages a night, it's not a lot, or a day. So, and the effect of doing just 10 pages a day, which is probably going to take you, you know, less than 10 minutes. Is that about right? Less than a minute a page, surely. Roughly, anyway. Say it's 10 minutes. 10 minutes reading a day is 10 to 12 books a year. It's crazy how much that adds up. And it's the same with everything. So, good one there. Streaking it, gamifying, great tip. Have you got any more?
I've got one more.
So, last one. And this is a bit more specific. And this is specific to me. And if you know who I am, you know the kind of person that I am and how this is, you know, why I would do something like this. But I think it's such a... I personally think everyone will benefit from it. And that is, start of the year, I like to do something really, really hard. Because first of all, I like to do something hard every single day because it gives perspective to my day. So most of the time for me, it's going to be an example in the form of training. Something difficult in my training that I not necessarily don't want to do. But it's just building that, you know, that mental toughness, that mental grit to prepare me to get through what life's going to throw at me, whether I like it or not. Life's going to punch me in the face at some point this year and next year and every year from now on, and that's my way of sort of preparing my mind for it. But I like at the start of the year to do a really tough workout because it gives perspective to my training for the rest of the year. And for me, generally, that's the last 2 years in a row, it's been 500 burpees for time. And no, I don't like to do a single burpee. It's probably my most hated exercise, even more than running. I fucking hate doing burpees. They're hard, they gas me. Got to get down and up, like it's not fun and it's boring as hell, but I know that I now have done it and I won't forget it quickly. So when things are getting tough for my training, or, you know, just little things are annoying me throughout my life as the months go by, you know, the motivation for doing something hard might leave me, but the memory of doing the 500 burpees that I did, I'm not going to forget that too quickly. So it's a good like reference point for perspective for me. I really like to do something really challenging at the start of the year, and I reference back to that all year because it just makes doing things hard a little bit easier.
Yeah, it's funny. I actually think I think it was Joe Desina. I think that was his morning ritual.
Was it?
Because covers everything we spoke about today. I think it was 300 burpees, because his whole idea was like, what the fuck else can be harder in my day than that, however long it took him?
Yeah. And people think that it's a physical thing. It's not a physical thing. Like, getting down and up 500 times or 300 times, whatever it is for you, is actually not physically that demanding. Like, most people can do that. It's the mental barriers that will pop up about, you know, 100 in, you'll be like, why am I even doing this? I don't need to do this. Like, you decided with your mind fresh that doing 500 burpees is not going to be fun, but it's good for me. I know I'm going to get some great benefits from doing this. And then 100 in, your mind starts tricking you. It's like, why are you doing 100? Why are you doing 500? Just do 400. Do 200. 200 is enough. And these mind games start happening. And then you start thinking about, oh, my shoulder's a bit sore. But is it really sore? Or is, again, your body trying to slow you down and stop you from being uncomfortable? You know, your body's designed to keep you comfortable. And as you go into a workout like that, that's very one-dimensional, very monotonous, over and over again, same thing, same thing, same thing. There's no stimulation. Your body is going to start saying, this is shit. We don't like this. And start sending you signals to stop. And there's great benefit in moving beyond that. And so the physicality of doing 500 burpees, honestly, is not that difficult. I'm not sore at all from it. It's fine. What's difficult is the mental barriers that come up and the way your mind starts to play tricks on you as you go through it. But I can tell you it's very satisfying to get to the end. And yeah, I'm just going to reference back to that most of the year. So I think that's a really good tip, really something you can do positive at the start of the year, something that's really maybe boring or uncomfortable for you to do. But it's like, it's a good way to start the year off and say, fuck, I did 500 burpees, man. Like, that's a lot. Most people don't want to do 20. So to do 500 is a significant amount, and I think it's a really good way to start the year off.
Awesome.
There you go. Is that it? So our tips, if I can remember them all, because they're not written down, they're in our minds. In the morning, wake up early. That was sort of a blended tip. You know, have a ritual that you do in the morning that creates success for you, and wake up earlier. Wake up earlier, get the most important things done at the start of the day, or do some exercise at the start of the day, so that when sort of 6 a.m., 7 a.m. rolls around and the world's waking up, you're 2 or 3 hours ahead. And no matter what happens for the day, you've got the most important things done, and you're gonna feel really great about the day. And the key to making that work over a longer period of time is to get to bed a little bit earlier. So I think that's a great tip. The second one was to think small. Whatever it is that you're trying to, you know, improve on this year, don't do too many things at once. Just build momentum by getting small things done and be successful with those, and you can add in more. And I think the third one sort of builds on that, is to try and build a streak, to try and gamify whatever that small thing is that you're trying to improve, whether it be drinking more water or doing a certain amount of steps per day, or, you know, eating a protein target, or, you know, reading a book 10 pages a day, whatever it might be. Like, just try and get a streak. When the streak ends, start the streak again and try and beat it. You know, when the streak ends, it's not over. It's just an opportunity to start again and beat that streak. And you can start gamifying everything. And literally, it'll take you 5 seconds to write a tally down in a book somewhere, in a journal. And I think it's a really good way of, you know, adding a little bit of competitiveness with yourself on doing some things that are in your best interest. And the last thing is, maybe try out, you know, 500 burpees is a great one, but anything, like maybe it's like going for a 20-kilometer walk, or, you know, something that's just out there, something that's a bit boring and difficult, and something particularly that you don't like to do. Like, if you love doing burpees, you're a fucking weirdo, but if that's you, maybe that's not the best one for you. Maybe you need to pick something that you don't enjoy doing. But I really recommend doing something really difficult in the first, say, couple of weeks of the year, so you can always reference back to it about, I'm fucking so proud of myself that I did that thing. I overcame all the mental barriers that popped up throughout that workout, and I'm ready now to take on the year. Four tips? It's about four.
Four and a half, yeah.
Four and a half tips. So, guys, that's our 2020 first podcast of the year. We are definitely going to be doing one podcast per week for the next 52 weeks. That's our streak, and we may even build on that. Maybe throw an extra podcast. I'm not sure. I'm not going to promise things, but they might happen. What I can promise you is that our streak will be 52 by the end of this week in terms of podcasts, end of this year. Apologies. And we're excited. We've got some really cool guests that we're going to line up this year. There's a lot of cool things that's going to happen with this podcast. We don't have a heap of listeners, but the ones we do have, we really appreciate you, and we want to give you the most value we can. And so we're going to continue to try and improve and bring you some really good information, and hopefully entertain you a little bit as well. Cool.
That's it.
If you enjoyed this, guys, please screenshot it, share on Instagram, in your stories, tag us, and share it with your friends. Obviously, we want more people to listen to this, and we want to get our message out as much as possible, so if you can support us with that, we would love that. Make sure you subscribe, and that's it. See you next week. Peace out.
Later.